As we begin the service today, this is just so you'll know I've decided to follow Jesus in death and in newness of life. That's what we want everyone to know. When we think about that and think about baptism, often people ask, you know, well, why should I be baptized, or why were you baptized? Well, Jesus told us to. That's the main reason. Now I want to tell you why Jesus told us to do it. Amen? And so as we look at that, I want you to turn to a familiar passage. That passage of Scripture is in Romans chapter 6. And I will not be able, for lack of time, to exhaust this whole text, but we're just going to walk through here. I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to walk through and look at some things I want you to know this morning and that our candidates for baptism want you to remember. Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and as he's writing here, he's been telling them how God chose Israel to be his people, how he redeemed them, brought them out of Egypt, how he made them into a people, how he wanted to dwell among them, wanted them to live with him, how that even as his chosen people, they had sinned, they had done wrong, and then grace come into the picture because Christ come and died for their sins, died for our sins. And here in chapter 6, Paul says, now look, if you know that Christ loved you enough to die for you so that you can be forgiven of your sins, he said, would you keep on sinning? If Jesus died so that sin does not have control over you, why would you keep on wanting to do that? In other words, let me put it this way. Paul says, how can y'all be saved and not satisfied being sanctified? He said, look, the Lord's leading you onward and upward. You're headed home. So he says, here's what I want y'all to remember. And he begins in verse 1 by saying, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in sin? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been risen from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness of God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So this morning, this is what our candidates for baptism want you to know. They say that I know I'm united with Christ in death and in newness of life. But just so you know, I've decided to follow Jesus in death and life. I'm going to be baptized today. So here's what it is. Baptism does not wash your sins away. When you ask Jesus to forgive you, the Holy Spirit comes in and cleanses you. When you admit that you are a sinner, that you've not lived life God's way, you've been living on your own terms, you was your own king, your own ruler, But you know that God had something else for you, and you ask Christ to forgive you, the Holy Spirit regenerates you, redirects you, gives you new desires, a new heart, a new way of thinking. And when that happens, guess what? You're saved. You become a new creature. The old has passed away. Now, you could tell me that, hey, I've died to sin. I'm living good. I'm living for God now. But I don't really see that happen inside your heart. Your family doesn't really see that happen inside your heart. I told y'all a few weeks ago, Mona and I moved to Tennessee. I got saved. The Lord changed my life. We was gone 10 years. We come back here, and I told everybody, I'm saved. I'm doing good. You know what they said? We'll see. Just because we say we saved, people don't quite understand. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. And all who calls on the name of the Lord shall not be disappointed. And whoever, say whoever, that means everybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, and when we get saved, something's happened inside to make us a new creature through the power and the supernatural act of the Holy Spirit through God, through faith in Jesus Christ. So when you get baptized, as we take the candidates up today, they come down in the water, I'll ask them, I'll say, do you come to baptism by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And the Lord means that Jesus is going to rule your life and your heart from now on. It don't mean, well, I'm forgiven and I'm going to heaven. No, it means you got a new boss. And his name's Jesus. You're going to follow him. And so you say, well, I used to try and I had a hard time. Well, that's because you was controlled by sin. So when they go under the water, it's a picture of Christ being buried for our sins. So each person, as they go under the water, what they want you to know is I've decided to follow Jesus in death. Just because it happened 2,000 years does not mean that we can't die to our old way. When we ask Jesus to forgive us, we are dead to our sins. When they come up out of the water, they're saying, hey, I just want you to know I've decided to follow Jesus in the newness of life. I've been resurrected. I'm new. The old I left in the grave. I become a new creature. And then when they start up the steps, I'll say, to walk in the newness of life. Guess what? If you was if dead and now you're alive and you're heading out somewhere, you're going a new direction with a new boss and a new way of life. And that's what baptism is. And you say, well, why do they need to do it in front of all of us? Because they are reminding y'all that if you've been baptized, that you're on the road to the newness of life and you need to spend every day asking God to help you become more and more like Jesus and less like your old self. That's called sanctification. And you need to pray for these candidates. So guess what happens? When they are baptized, raised, and walking into newness of life, they're saying, I've decided to follow Jesus with all y'all, everybody in the church. Look at the person beside you and say, I want you to know I've decided to follow Jesus. Now, if that person beside you is somebody you don't like, guess what? You're going to spend in heaven with them, so y'all need to be practicing getting along. Amen? Amen. So, this is what Paul's wanting the Romans to know. So this morning, as Miss Linda and Felicity and Miss Sharon and Miss Shireen and Kathy and Travis come to baptism, they just want you to know that they have decided to be united with Christ. When we get baptized, in the Bible, that is a picture of being united with a new leader. Peter talks about the Israelites being baptized into Moses through the Red Sea. What he's saying, they identified with Moses leading them out of the captivity of slavery into the promised land. And as he was leading them out, they was united with Moses. Moses says in chapter 18, verse 15 of Deuteronomy, that after me a prophet greater than I will rise, and you will obey him. He's saying that somebody's greater than me is coming, and that person was Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this, as they come, they want you to know that they are united with Christ in his death. Paul says here, do you not know? In other words, he's telling the Romans and he's telling us today, do you not know you've been baptized in Christ's death? Jesus died for us. And then the conclusion, verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism. You are united with Christ in his death, just as if you was there at the cross 2,000 years ago. God counts that as payment for your sin. He says, if you've been buried through baptism and death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so that we might walk in the newness of life. So he says, look, you have died to your old self. And he says, you know that your old self, in verse 6, was crucified with Christ in order that your body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer are slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So here's what happens. When we're not saved, sin's got control over us. Some of us has got a lot of willpower. We can cowboy up, pull up our bootstraps, and fight off some sin, but there's still temptation that overcome us. But once we ask Christ to take control of our life, we die to our sin, then we're laying there. What sin knows, sin could come up and kick Wesley and try to get me up. But a dead person, sin can't get me up to follow him no more. Why? Because I've been made alive, and we're walking with somebody new, and his name's Jesus. And that's what Paul says. Look, when you get baptized, you are preaching the gospel to everybody out there. You're telling your family. You're telling your friends. I want you to know something. Hey, I was united with Christ in death. My old self is gone. Christ has forgiven me. And you say, well, why do I need to show that I was united with Christ? Because Jesus said so. Now, here's something I want to show you right here. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus arrived in Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. This is John the Baptist. He's baptizing people, telling them the Messiah's coming. Y'all need to get ready. You need to repent from your sins and be ready for the Messiah, God's King, to come and set up God's kingdom. Be ready to follow him. But John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus immediately come up from the water. Behold, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove lighting on him. And behold, a voice come out of heaven, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? He was sinless. Because, he says, to fulfill righteousness. Jesus come from heaven, fully God, took on flesh, become fully man. He was without sin, yet he was baptized to be identified with us. You get that? When Jesus was baptized, he says, I'm like that sinful old Wesley. I'm like that sinful old Ronnie. I'm like that sinful old Rodney. He says, I'm going to be just like them. But he lived on this earth without sin. So when he died in our place, he died to forgive us our sins, to give us a new heart and a new mind. When we get saved, our heart changes and our way of thinking. I know what y'all think. When I got saved, oh, he got a good heart. But it was more to that. The Lord changed the way I was thinking also, the way you were thinking. And then Jesus tells us at the end of his life, after he was buried and resurrected, he says, go therefore and make disciples. In other words, people who follow me by identifying with me. He says, identify with me by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus identified with us, and he took on our sin. We identify with Jesus so we can take on his righteousness. Martin Luther said, this is an exchange that's too mysterious to understand. That Christ took everything worthless that we had and traded it for everything good that he had. And so as you say, I've been united with Christ in death, you are confessing also that you want everyone to know I'm united with him in the newness of life. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, if I get out of Matthew, verse 8 says, now if we died with Christ, we believe, say believe, we believe that we shall also live with him. And here's this word knowing again. So here's what I know. I know that Christ, having been risen from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death he died to sin, he died once for all. But the life he lives to God. So Christ died once for all sin, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So Christ, as he is raised, we are raised. And so the last thing when they're being baptized, they want you to know, they want you to know that they have calculated the benefits of being united with Christ. Look here in verse 11. It says, for even so, consider yourself. So if we want to calculate something up, 2 + 2 is what? 4. So if we've died with Christ and we also live with Christ, we can calculate that we no longer have to obey the lust of sin. Verse 13, we don't have to present ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness. We don't have to obey sin anymore. We have died to our old self, and sin can no longer master over us. Verse 13 and 14, then in verse 15, Paul says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? But because we are under grace. I love the song Amazing Grace, the second verse. Have you ever thought about that? It says, grace, my fears first reveal. Grace, my fears first relieved. Did you know that it was by the grace of God he let us know in fear that we was sinners separated from God? You know why? Some people, you say, well, I can't believe they do that. The grace of God hadn't been applied to them. This morning, two people pulled up to the gas pumps across from each other. One was playing I Believe by Brooks and Dunn. And one was playing something about shooting somebody with somebody's mama's gun or something. Wearing pajamas. And I ain't going to go into the rest of the details. The one there in the suit looked over at the other one. And you know what I thought? The only thing that separates us is by the grace of God. And I prayed right then for the Lord to let him hear something that was coming out of this radio that would make him start thinking, God's got a plan for me. You know, often we see other people doing things that we don't like, and we think they're bad people. They're not bad people. They're separated from God people. And by the grace of God, we've been brought back into fellowship with God through Christ. And Paul says when we calculate this, we understand that the benefit of dying to our old self with Christ, being raised to a new life with Christ, is that we become sanctified. Day by day, we become more and more like Jesus and less like our old self that God was unpleased with. You know, often we think, our mom ain't pleased with us, or our spouse, or our kids. Hey, we ought to first worry if God's pleased with us. Hey, if you start serving God, everything else will start falling in place. So today, as we come to this baptism, Christ was baptized to show that he had united with us. We're being baptized to show that we are united with him. And we want everyone to know that we have decided to follow Jesus walking in the newness of life. If you'll bow your heads. Most important question you'll ever answer in your life is Jesus my Lord? If you've been living a life that you know God's not pleased with, and you've been living life on your own terms, and you thought maybe someday I'll slow down and settle down and I'll get right and God will be happy with me. It doesn't work like that. We have to admit that we are sinners. We're separated from God because He's holy and sin cannot come into His presence. But He loved you so much that Christ came to this earth and lived the life you should have lived. Died the death you deserve and was raised 3 days later. If you want to know for certain that you can spend eternity in heaven and that you can live on this earth a life in fellowship daily with God, you just simply say, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. Lord God, I believe Jesus come to this earth and lived the life I should have lived. He died the death I deserve. He was buried, and 3 days later, risen to life, so I know that I can be forgiven. Jesus, please forgive me. I've decided to follow you, walking in the newness of life. If you've prayed that this morning, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. If you've been saved a long time, today, as we go to the baptism waters, it's a time to remember the things that you learned a long time ago. You need to know that your past life has died with Christ. And yet your life you live in today, you're supposed to live to God in Christ Jesus. Each day, you look for Jesus to lead you to become more like Him. In your attitude, in your actions, in your thoughts. Right now, say, Lord, I've calculated the cost, and I've decided to follow you closer in 2023. I want to walk in the newness of life. I want every day to be a new day, a new adventure with you. You lead, and I'll follow. Help others see you living in me. If you've prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Kind Father, we just thank you now, and now, as we get ready to go to baptism, I just pray that you would be with us, that you would guide, direct us, that you'd be with these that are being baptized today, Lord, as they make a public profession that you have died for their sins and that you was resurrected, that you're going to be Lord of their life, that, Lord, we would remember to pray for them daily, that each day they grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I'm going to ask Miss Linda and Felicity and Miss Sharon and Shireen and Kathy and Travis if they will be coming this way. And I'm going to ask Master's Hand if they'll come and do a song while we get ready for baptism. And as we're getting ready, I want you to know we're going to baptize Travis because of his health and condition. We're going to baptize him forward, and it's nothing wrong with that. We're going to have him. Did you want to be baptized? Yeah, okay, come on. Yeah, good. Also, Miss Billy Ray, I didn't know after the hospital. Amen. She wanted to be. Say seven. And the Lord's blessed us. Come on, Miss Billy Ray. Good to see y'all.
I'm glad that we have an opportunity to come before you this morning. I don't know where you stand with the Lord, but all of us at one time were living outside the graces that He's provided for us. I'm thankful for the mercy that He applied in my life, and I pray that you are today. Thank you.
looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up,
Your Honor.
I have no defense. That's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. God took the stand. God saving grace, the blood that covered my sin. Oh, give us mercy, walk me. Someone so guilty has just been set free. My chains were broken. I fell for again. The moment that mercy won't. God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Oh, give unto mercy, walk in. Oh, the blood was presented that covered.
I'm going to do a real quick introduction. He partially introduced them. I have to look at the two ladies when I called their name so they know who I'm speaking to. Being both of them's name is Sharon. But Miss Sharon Whittle, standing on the far end, Sharon Jackson in the middle. My name is James Boger. Two of us have been here before. Miss Whittle is new to us, but she has been a blessing and a godsend. Pray with us as we try to sing and lead you in worship today. Not far away. I believe he's coming a whole lot sooner than a lot of people think. I challenge you today, if you're not ready, time's getting short. My prayer is that you will get there. And you know, for those of us that are born and ready to go, there's going to be a day before long we ain't going to have to worry about anything.
That's right.
We're going to leave all that behind us. If you notice anything about us, we sing old Southern gospel music. But that's where the message is. Listen to a beautiful song. I won't have to worry anymore. Brighter day is coming. Soon I'll step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. Said my last goodbye, I'll see my Savior standing at the door. And I'll hear him say, all your cares are left behind, and I won't have to worry. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry. My heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore, anymore. I'm so glad. There's going to come a day that I don't have to worry anymore. If you're born again and you know that you know that you know where you're going,
thank you, Jesus.
There's going to come a time that you won't have to worry anymore. You got something to shout about today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Especially the ones that just received their baptism today. They got something to shout about.
That's right. Amen.
Give them another hand of applause for accepting Jesus as their Savior.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
They have did the best thing that they'll ever do in their life. They've accepted Him. But better yet, He accepted them. And He's going to really give them a splendid time one of these days. You know, we've been through a whole lot in the last couple of years. You think about COVID. Then you think about the federal government. They really tried to shut the church down. because they put restrictions on everybody for what they can do.
I thank Jesus that I didn't go get a shot.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank Jesus my faith was in him, because a doctor is a practitioner. He can't heal you, but Jesus can. I fully believe that today. And not only can he heal you from your sickness, but he can heal you from your sin sickness if you allow him to come in. But in all that we've been through, we think that there was times when God didn't hear us. But I want you to know today that any time that you cried out to Jesus, he heard you.
Yes, he's always listening.
And this song simply says, your cries have awoken the Master. Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, and he was asleep in the stern.
Does he not give any hurts?
We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called me, said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, because you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child of Christ, have awoken the Master. It hit you without any warning. Storm of your life had begun. Seen no hope in the distance. You're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filled, and you're thinking that eventually drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know that you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all of your might. Shout your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Shout your cries have awoken the Master. You're a fair word, he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. Try to be patient, soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must be. Cause you've held on with all of your might. Shout your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Shout your cries have awoken the Master. Your
Are you thankful that he hears your voice? How many of you are looking to find out what it feels like to step into heaven? To walk on the streets of gold. To talk to the saints of old. To be there with your Savior. This song simply says that. Change it. I know they picked songs today, but I'm going to change it up. God's telling me to go somewhere else. So I'm going to listen to what he says. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's about him. It's where it all should, always should be. How many of you are thankful today? Not just thankful for your salvation, but thankful for what God's done in your life. How many of you this morning when you woke up, first thing, let thankfulness come out of your mouth? How many of you this morning when you woke up, thank God for just allowing you to open your eyes again? You know, everything that goes on in your life is a blessing from God. You may not realize it for a blessing, but it is a blessing. The next breath that you take, that's a blessing. Opening your eyes every morning is a blessing. Being able to get on your feet every day is a blessing. Being able to eat every day is a blessing. Being able to have a roof over your head, clothes on your body, shoes on your feet, a family, it's a blessing. But we need to realize all these blessings are going to be short-lived. They're here for right now. But when you go to heaven, you're going for yourself. That's that personal salvation. That's that personal knowing of God. That's that personal relationship with God. But I want to challenge you today, and we're going to do this, and this will be our last one. I want to challenge you today. The first thing that you should do when your eyes open in the morning is thank God. You know, we always say it, but how many of us practice it? Because it doesn't take much to get you distracted from what you should do. So my challenge is, and my first thing is I will do every morning when I try to get up, I thank him first for opening my eyes. I'm still here. I've got another day that I can be a witness for him. So that's the blessing in and of itself. And if you really want to be a witness, I promise you, God will open a door.
Yes, he will.
I know the pastor can tell you that. If you want to be a witness for God, get ready to open your mouth, because God will put the words in your mouth that you need to say at the right time. And he will also present somebody that you need to talk to. But every day when you get up, I want you to be thankful.
Looks upon me as I struggle alone. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. For your blessings on me, there's a roof up above me, I'm a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. For your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. To me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I'm a good place. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Blessings on me.
know, it just came to me in the process of singing that song. He gave me a family. He did. He gave me 2 children. A wife, and me and her are no longer together. But I think about this. My family is much greater than those 4. Because you're my family. We're all family if we're in communion with God. And I should treat you like family. I love each one of you. Most of you don't know me. But I love you because I know one day we're going to spend eternity together. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you love them, because one day you're going to spend eternity with them. They need to know it while they're here, but they also need to live it. I challenge you to live the fact that you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't care who they are. Don't have to be in this church. It can be in another church. They're still part of God's family. You're still part of God's family. You're supposed to love them. You may not agree with everything they do. And believe me, there's a lot of people that I don't agree with. But you know what? God tells us to love that soul. That's our challenge, to love that soul, to try to get them to heaven if they're not living for them. Pastor.
Thank you. Y'all give Master's hand a big hand. I want y'all to also give the Lord a big hand. Amen. I want to remind y'all all what Paul said here when we got to this text. In chapter 4, he said that Christ was buried for our transgressions. In other words, that took care of our guilt. It says he was raised for our justification. That made us right with God. And then we're united in the newness of life. That's our sanctification. That's to walk with the newness of life. And you know, sometimes the only gospel message people will hear next week is them watching your life. You know, Travis and me worked together 30-some years ago. Travis called me when we come talk to him. He said, if God can help you, he can help anybody. Amen. And that is so true. I mean, we need to let everybody know that Jesus, just like the lady that swept her whole house looking for the lost corn, when she found it, she rejoiced. The man that lost one sheep, he had a whole flock, yet he went, or a whole herd, and yet he went and found that one sheep. And Jesus says, just as they rejoiced, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of heaven over one soul that repents. Now, have you ever thought about that? We think about the angels rejoicing all the time, but it said in the presence of the angels. That means God the Father's rejoicing because he has found his lost child. So we need to remember that. Food is prepared and it's probably about ready to be served. I'm going to ask if y'all will to let the baptism candidates and their families go first. Y'all can go right through here and down the steps. If you have trouble walking, the sidewalk right there, it won't be any steps, but it's a little farther to walk, but you can still get there. So y'all can use either one you would like. We've got plenty of food, so y'all please stay and eat and celebrate with us. Is it anything before we close in prayer? All right, I'm going to pray here for the meal too, and if you will, if they're ready to serve, the baptism candidates and their families can go through the line first, and then everybody else. Thank y'all for being here, and give Master's hand another welcome. I do see that they've got some of their CDs, so if you want to see them about something to take home with you, I believe they'll be glad to stay around and see you for that also. Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you now with praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, as we come before you, I just thank you for this celebration that, Lord, when we started talking about Fill the Tank Sunday, Lord, we just decided to go ahead and plan it and plan the food. And Lord, you brought the baptism candidates here. You saved souls. And Lord, today they just confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and demonstrated through baptism that you've resurrected him from the dead. And Lord, we thank you for that and pray that each of us will remember our baptism and what it means, and that daily we'll proclaim that we've decided to follow you. not only in death to sin, but also in the newness of life to God. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.